Episode 173 von Win Today Hockey O'Clock. Alexander Bröms, Head Coach, ÖEHV Nationalteam der Frauen. How big, as far as you can judge it or sense it, is that hunger to finally get over the hump and finally get to the April?
I mean, it's just look at it. They've been close so many times and they're still going at it. They're just, you know, for me, especially the older ones, but also the younger ones, you can say the whole team. It's a team that never quits.
Win today, hockey, O'Clock.
In diesem Augenblick wird's jetzt richtig hitzig. Yeah, und die Scheibe kollert über die Linie. Mittendrin statt nur der Ball. Das ist unglaublich, was die hier zelebrieren. Nice move, another nice move.
He is a man on a mission. He is the man who's head coach for Austria's women's national team, the team that starts their journey, the world championship on home ice, trying to advance to the April. The tournament starts on Sunday, and I'm so happy to have him here on Win Today Hockey O'Clock. It's, of course, Alexander Bröms. And Alex, thank you so much for jumping onto the show.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Alex, I need to preface this a little bit because this is probably one of the uniquest interview situations I've ever been in, because you're dragging around your little toddler, a half-year-old, right in front of you. So if there are little baby noises, not interfering with our conversation, but yeah, there it is. Just be aware of it. I think it's incredibly sweet. And we, right before we started recording the conversation, you said you had to go back for a couple of days to Sweden after the exhibition games against Hungary, which we're going to talk about. And obviously before the start of the camp for the women's national team, which we're going to talk about. How is it having so much to do and then still trying to squeeze in a little bit of family time?
Well, I like to be busy, and I mean, family is the most important thing for me. But second most important thing is hockey. So I mean, I love to work with hockey, and I have the pleasure to have the Austrian national team. That's been so far a great experience for me, and I really enjoy it. Like every time we get together, so it's only been fun so far. So it's a pleasure.
We're going to talk about the upcoming tournament of the Women's World Championship, the Division 1A. We're going to talk about your experiences and takeaways from the two exhibition games this past weekend against Hungary. We're going to talk a little bit about your hockey CV and how you ended up coaching Team Austria. But just on a general basis, we're recording this conversation on a Monday, a day after another incredible game between Canada and the USA at the Women's World Championships. Canada won 6-5 in overtime, reclaiming the World Championship. Just in general, how exciting are the times for women's hockey?
I would say it's super exciting. I think it's developing every year, and I mean, you know, the level gets higher and higher, and especially there's more teams than just Canada and USA who can really play. And so it's super exciting time, especially for us in Austria. Now we're going to play the whole world. So it's kind of special to have that opportunity to have a world tournament, you know, in your home country. So, but overall, I think female hockey is, at least when I started coaching, it's been happening so much, so short time. So it's kind of special. I think it's special for both hockey, but also in sports in general, that like the female side goes from what it's been for a couple of years ago to what it is today.
Let's just stick a little bit with the World Championships that just concluded this past Sunday. How much of it were you able to watch? Granted, there's obviously a time difference, but with all the things going on, you trying to to get the Austrian squad ready for the home world championship or the Division 1A. How much are the April tournament were you indeed able to watch?
I watched some games, like full games, but especially like highlights and some clips also, since we have like a pretty good video system. So you follow like especially players you know since before, and you follow some of the countries, you know, in my case Sweden, of course. So overall, you try to watch, you try to see what's the level, what's if it's something new, like the style of play, or you know, for some player, and also for my other job situation, where I'm like the general manager for a team in Sweden, female team. So I think that's also one part, or you know, especially the Worlds, it's a window for us to watch players and scout for upcoming seasons. But no, I watched a bit, but especially I probably watched all the goals and the highlights from all the games.
Listeners out there have to excuse maybe a stupid or naive question on my behalf that might be upcoming over the next half hour or so. But listeners to this program are usually used to hearing men talk about men's hockey. So it's been kind of a revelation to have like regular episodes or episodes appearing in a regular time frame, so to speak, about women's hockey. So what we're trying to do here is educate the people about everything that goes on in that regard. And if you look at women's hockey on a national team level, Canada and the USA are so far and away the two biggest powerhouses, eventually ending up in almost all the finals and Olympic gold medal games and whatnot. What does it take to get closer to Canada and the US? Like if you're looking at all the other national teams, is there a secret to success? Is there something that you'd advise them to do to get closer to those two nations?
It's of course it's a super big question. I think it's a lot of things that you need to do, and especially to draw like a long-term plan how to get there. But I don't think you should copy like any. Not Canada, not USA. I think it's important to, you know, see what your own conditions are and how you can maximize all those conditions. I think also like if you compare it with the Austrian, I think we in Austria will never get that many players like Canada or USA having. It's going to be like so many years away. So if we, you know, if we're going to compete with Canada and USA, we need to find some other thing that we can develop, improve to make us, you know, go first to the A group and then also be able to play those teams. But I think also if you can crack a code, you know, how hockey will be played in a couple of years, you know, and if you get there first, then you have a chance to compete with all the teams. I think also seeing, like we talked about before, seeing that hockey, especially female hockey, is developing so much the last couple of years. I think that's probably going to be the same for the next couple of years also. It's going to be developing a lot. And if you can be the one cracking the code, maybe have some key points that you're really, really good at that some of the other teams maybe doesn't have, then I think it's definitely possible to compete with the biggest nations in women's hockey.
I'll get back to the cracking the code part. Sounds very interesting, and I'd really like to have your insights on it. But as a lot of people here who follow women's hockey envy everything that goes on, for example, in Sweden with the Swedish Female Hockey League. The I'm only butchering it, so I'm not even trying to have it by its real name, but the
Swedish
SDHL. Yeah, I could get there. But yeah. if you pronounce it in proper Swedish, you'd probably be better at it than I am. But a lot of people are looking at the Swedish Hockey League and the full arenas and the status that women's hockey has achieved there. And then Sweden loses in the quarterfinals of the World Championships to Canada 5-1. How big is that gap between a solid Swedish team and the reigning world champion?
I think the gap is still big, of course. Like if you put them, those two teams together and play them, let's say 10 times, I guess, you know, Canada will probably win eight or nine times. So I think the gap is still pretty big. But then we should also remember that Sweden has done a lot of progress last couple of years. I think I said Sweden, and as I hear, they have a long-term plan, what they want to do every year and how they want to develop. And also not only the Swedish national team, but also players overall in Sweden, and also starting way earlier with the education and also, putting in resources to help those players to be really, really good. And also, I think Sweden, you know, if you look at Sweden, we're like a country who are pretty solid, as we talked about before. I think that's also one of the biggest strengths in Sweden, like the teamwork, the team frame. I think that's also one of the codes for Sweden. If we're going to be successful ever again, then we need to have really strong teams, maybe not to have the biggest or best individual players. I think, you know, team effort will probably be the one bringing the success to Sweden sooner or later. Of course, every team needs the individual skill player, but those players need also to play for the team and be a team player in the bottom when it comes to you know, making those finals or making those titles, I would say. So I think still it's a pretty big gap, and I mean, Canada has probably, you know, done that journey for many, many years ago. So for them, it's already in the system. They can do it every year with a new group of people probably who's just doing the same thing and they're being successful. So I think they're also every year probably, you know, they're preparing mentally for playing USA. That's like the biggest thing for them. So, and I mean, I watched some of that game in the quarterfinal, Canada-Sweden, and I mean, you know, you need to take care of those moments, those chances you get against Canada. If you can score, so it's a tie game, and then, you know, you can't let Canada move away with 2-3 goals, then you won't catch them. So I think you need to make those perfect games. And it's possible when you go into championships. We will probably get back to that later with our championship also. You need to have a good day. Otherwise, you can be out of the tournament or you can miss your chance to moving up. So it's all about performing at the right moments.
And we're going to get to the tournament and we're going to get to the very special dynamics such a tournament can have and obviously bring to the table. But I want to first set the scene a little bit with you as a person and as a coach. How did you end up coaching women's hockey and obviously being a general manager and then jumping onto Team Austria and coaching our women's national team?
Yeah, first of all, I think, you know, when I played, I was always, you know, assistant captain or captain, and I was definitely not the most skilled player, but I cared a lot for the team. I cared a lot for the players around me, that we had success together. So I think that's something I brought also with me to the school bench, you know, after a couple of years playing, and also started to like study coaching. Thought it was really interesting, and also how you could affect people, how you can affect groups, and also as you talked about the dynamic of you know, putting different people together and what you could do together. So I think that made me more and more interested in coaching. And after I was done in school, I got a job pretty soon, actually from Leksand, where I live today. And then I tried many different roles in the club, both as a youth director, also for like we have hockey gymnasiums in Sweden where it's like you go to school and you practice during school time, for example, and it's more skill based practiced, some kind of, like a part of the education. You actually get a grade on a hockey course in school. And then I also been coaching the SDHL team in Leksand for 2 years before I went to the Swedish Hockey Federation, where I also been coaching different teams, both under 16 women's, under 18 women's. I was also assistant coach for the senior Swedish national team pro out, and also had the pleasure to work full time at the Hockey Federation, Swedish Hockey Federation, for going around and helping both young players who the federation saw as really important for the future hockey in Sweden, but also look at the hockey gymnasium and what they're doing at practices, just to make sure that, you know, they got influenced by what's happening in the international hockey and that they also had really good practice for the upcoming players. After my time at the federation, while I was at the federation, I got a request actually from the gymnasium where I have been working before, but this time it was nothing about hockey. It was only as a teacher actually, but in some sports area. So for me, it was a kind of a exciting question like a challenge to go in. And I saw it as a coach mission also to coach kids in school who didn't play hockey, who didn't work on a team. So, but for me and for my coaching career, it was a really, really good year and good experience to have, you know, young kids who didn't want to be in school, didn't want to study, didn't want to do things. And then you had, on the other hand, like super ambitious kids who was only in like happy they got an A in every course. So, you know, to try to build a team in school with the class was a challenge for me to have kids, individuals who didn't want to be in school, and some other kids who like almost couldn't get out of school. So for me, that was great for my coaching career to see like how easy it is to have a hockey team and start on the same base with everyone, because everyone wants to be there, everyone wants to develop, everyone wants to, you know, hopefully help the team to some kind of success. So so it's a kind of a luxury to work with a hockey team, I would say.
But at what point did the Austrian Federation knock on your door?
Yeah, it was actually after my time at that gymnasium. I got a request from Leksand again about being the GM for the female senior team there. And, you know, I missed hockey at the same time, as it was fun that year at gymnasium as a teacher, but I missed hockey. So I went back to that. And after like one season, it was probably a coincidence. Then me and Martin Kugler had like a phone call. If I remember it right, I think Martin called me up, and I think he got my name from, you know, some Swedish people at the federation, which they probably talked about me a little bit. And then he called me up and asked me what I was doing for the moment, and if it was interesting of being a part of the Austrian women's hockey team. And we took a couple of meetings. I think I was actually, I think Martin first saw me as an assistant coach with the team, but after a couple of meetings, then I ended up being the head coach. So, and I always had been in those situations where I was some kind of, you know, in the front as head coach or GM or, you know, so first was sounding like, okay, yeah, maybe I should be the assistant coach and take a smaller role, or, you know, hopefully could help out in some area. But it ended up, you know, being a head coach, and I like it. And for me, it's no big deal to be the head coach or assistant coach. It's more how we as a coaching staff can do the best possible job and support the players in the best possible ways.
You've been doing this whole stuff for a long time now. You're approaching basically a decade being head coach, general manager, and probably a do-it-all, as it happens in a lot of women's hockey teams. What's the more challenging part, being a head coach or being a GM?
That's a good question. That's a good question. I would say it's pretty different. You know, being a head coach, then it's a lot about hockey and the tactics. And I think to be that, of course, you deal with people and different personalities also as a coach. But I think as a GM, you need to be really good with communication, to deal with people and knowing they're different, and also make sure they have everything they need around the ice, because that's, you know, it's not a secret, but if you don't like it, how you live, or how the surrounding is, or what kind of work you have on the side, maybe as some of the players have, then we won't get maximum out of that player. So I think as a GM, you have a little bit more to think about, more around the rink than at hockey, but at the same time, you will also be responsible for what's happening on the ice. So then I think you need to have a finger with, like, if it's with the hockey, or if it's apartments, or if it's budget, or if it's you know, staff or whatever. And also scouting, it's another part that you need to be having a plan for maybe 1 or 2 or 3 years ahead. So as a coach, you can, you know, mostly live it day by day. You can probably think of the games coming up, but, you know, it is practice today, and then you do the best possible practice, and you prepare for maybe tomorrow at the game, but you don't think for, okay, what's happening next year, which you need to do as a GM.
The interesting part is that you're getting the best of both worlds right now, because you're the GM for Lexand in the SDHL, and you're a head coach for Team Austria. And granted, national team hockey is only something that occupies you for a couple of days when there are camps or exhibition games, and a couple of weeks when there are tournaments. But how do you allocate your resources? How do you, if one here is, okay, you're a GM and a head coach for a national team, how do you split or try to split your time? How does it look?
No, I would say that, you know, my days has been being longer and longer the older I get, especially now with kids, you know, going up, I don't know, 5 o'clock in the mornings and going to bed around 12 or 12:30 in the evening. So I have long days, but I like it. And for me, it's a lifestyle to work with hockey. So, I mean, if I have, let's say that I work with Lexan for a couple of hours, if I had a break, then I probably go in and watch some of our clips, or I prepare something for Team Austria, or we have some meetings where we talk about players. So I think, yeah, I try to combine them in a good way. And also, of course, I think I also, since it's indirect, I you know, I have an effect both in Lexand and Team Austria. So I think some of the things I can use in Lexand, I can also use with Team Austria, and vice versa. So I think that helps out when we, like, in the same business with hockey. So, but I think if I go back a couple of years, it would have been so much more tough to deal with having two missions. So now with some experience, I think it's definitely doable to do what I'm doing today.
The reason why I'm asking is because your background is so unique, and you had to rep your head around a new country with a different hockey culture, players that you didn't know, couldn't know, teams that you didn't know. Where was the starting point? Where or how did you try to create some kind of basic knowledge about what you were getting yourself into?
Yeah, I think first talking to Martin Kuhler was a big thing, and also asking about, okay, how's the team, and what's been before, and of course, you know, talking about other people been there before, also reading a lot, seeing a lot of games, especially from the World's tournaments last couple of seasons, read more about the players, where do they play, how do they play, how old are they. Same thing asking about, okay, how's the structure, also for the younger players coming up, since they have both a national team for under 14 players, under 16 players, under 18 players, how do they work together, what kind of system have they played before? All those questions, you know, was just spinning around in my head, and I think I got some good answers. And at the same time, you want to try to keep things pretty open. I hope that Martin Kugler recruited me because he thinks I got some kind of skill or some kind of expertise so I can come in and help the Austrians. So I tried to keep it a pretty open mindset so I could come in and, you know, seeing, okay, what I believe we can do. And also coaching staff was also super important, that we could find you know, good people who are there for the right intentions and want to do a good work for Austria. Because as I said before, we're there to support the players. Sometimes we need to take tough calls, but in the end, we're always there to support the players. We're not there for ourselves. We're there for Team Austria and for Austria as a country. And we maybe want, you know, most of all, some success for the players, especially for the ones who has been there for a long time and fought it and gave it so much time and so much effort.
The challenge for a national team head coach usually also is that there's only so much time that you get with the players, only a couple of get-togethers where you have to kind of instill your vision and the way you want to play hockey. And first of all, you had to get a grasp of all the players. And once you started putting the pieces of the puzzle together, what comes first, knowing what kind of team you have, or having kind of a vision and then trying to assemble the right players that fit the vision? How did it work for you?
I think the truth, according to me, is somewhere between. I think you need to have some kind of plan, some kind of vision before you enter it, and not just come in with no plan. I mean, if you don't prepare, then you're preparing to fail. So I think I try to prepare, but also, as I said, try to keep an open mind to see players. And, you know, you also, if you talk with some coach who has done before or in their club thing, and you only listen to them, then you get a picture, which maybe I don't agree with all the time. You know, a player who can only play one way, the coach say that in the club team, but, you know, maybe in the national they can do some other role or some other work, or they are suited to do something which they don't do in the club team. So I think I try to keep it a bit open, but also trying to see, okay, if we're going to have some success, how should we play? What do we need to do to, you know, take those steps? And sometimes it's not only about hockey. Sometimes it can be, you know, how we prepare around or how we do off-ice or mental things also that can be really important. I think, but one of the biggest thing for us that's helped us a lot is that we from the start, we started to working with putting together a DNA and some kind of identity for Team Austria and for our team that we could live by every day. It doesn't matter if it's practice, if it's game, or just some basic things that everyone can remember and bring for every time they hit the ice. I think that's been a good thing for us, that we can remind the players every camp that, okay, we know our DNA, we know our identity. This is how people should see Austria when we play. So overall, I think, you know, having a vision is super important, because, you know, if you will try to get people to come along with you on the journey, you need to have a vision. You need to tell them where we're going, and not saying that, okay, I don't know, we will see. So I think it's super important to have some kind of vision for them. And I think we're in a good way now, and it's going to be really exciting to go into this tournament, especially when we can play it in Austria.
I'd love if you were able to elaborate a little bit the DNA of Austria's women's hockey team. What is it all about?
We've been working pretty much with it, and I mean we involve the players from the start, and so, and also you know, trying to moderate and trying to you know, help them to find what's the important things of Team Austria and how we should play. And I think we from actually the first meeting we had, we get along with three words, and it was fast, smart, and aggressive. That's the way Team Austria should play, no matter what, and that's the way we should practice. So, and then We have some things underneath that, but we don't know if also maybe some opponents are listening to this podcast. So I keep the rest for myself and for Team Austria. But we're a fast team who wants to play smart, and we're always going to be aggressive, no matter what, if we have the puck or not.
And hopefully a lot of people are going to turn out and want to watch Team Austria play. Tournament starts this Sunday in Klagenfurt. There's going to be some great hockey that people will be able to see. And there are also some great deals. There is a €20 deal for the entire tournament week. €10 to watch a game. Sounds perfect to me. Very affordable. And we're going to head to a quick break. And people out there, please listen closely, because Hockey O'Clock goes on tour one last time this year for the Women's World Championship. Back after this.
Win today, Hockey O'Clock.
Zum Staffelfinale geht der Win Today Hockey O'Clock Podcast noch einmal auf Tour. Am Sonntag, dem 28. April 2024, gastiert dein Lieblingspodcast anlässlich der Frauen-Eishockey-Weltmeisterschaft der Division 1B in Klagenfurt. Im VIP-Bereich der Heidi Horten Arena gibt es bei Gratisverpflegung und Getränken unter anderem Anna Meixner, Terry Hornig und viele weitere Gäste, die bei hochkarätigem Hockey Talk zur Verfügung stehen. Unter den ersten 10 verbindlichen Anmeldungen für die limitierte Gästeliste verlose ich zudem 5x2 VIP-Karten für Spiele der Frauenweltmeisterschaft und 5 exklusive Win Today Hockey O'Clock Trikots. Melde dich jetzt via formloser Mail für die Gästeliste an unter hockeyoclock101@gmail.com. Das ist hockeyoclock101@gmail.com. Hockey O'Clock on Tour in Klagenfurt. Wir sehen uns am 28. April 2024.
Win today, Hockey O'Clock.
Back on Winter Day, Hockey O'Clock, back with Austrian Women's National Team head coach Alexander Brems. And coach, as we're drawing closer to the tournament, and as you and your team are coming off two exhibition games against Hungary this past weekend, what were the takeaways? What were the learnings that you were able to get after the two exhibition games?
I think one of the learning points was no start. We had the same start in Stellamsey, actually, where we started the first game of two a little bit slow, and then was in the Netherlands, and then we had a so much better game the day after. So I think that's something we need to talk about and find some kind of solution about, so we don't get a slow start at the Worlds. But I think also some parts of the game where we give away the momentum instead of keeping the momentum to ourselves. So I think it's a couple of details that we would like to bring and also talk about when we get together this week. Also the tactics, you know, what kind of tactics did work against Hungary. You know, in our game, it's still from, you know, our playbook, how the way we want to play, but also how we should try to beat Hungary next time we play them, because we will face them in the Worlds again, and, you know, then both teams know what they're getting. So, but overall, like a two good exhibition games against a good Hungarian team. So we're pretty happy with that. And we bring a lot of experience, also a lot of video, which we can analyze now and talk to the players about when we meet them again on Wednesday.
As you're talking about tactics, and again, coming back to the fact that you don't get a lot of practice time and proper games with your team, how basic does the tactical approach have to be? And then again, how elaborate can it be? How many different breakouts and power play setups are you gonna implement for the Worlds? How does one have to think about that?
I think in the game 5 against 5, we have a pretty clear playbook. We talked about, you know, developing and the progress of female hockey. And I think one part of that part of that is to have one, like, more than one dimension of how you want to play hockey. And I think that's part of our playbook also. We have more than one way of handling different situations. So I think we've been working and implementing that kind of playbook all year. And it's pretty clear since we also, we watch video, we go out and practicing it, they get feedback on it. We also draw a lot, we talk about it. So I think most of the players now, they're, not most of, I said all of the players, they know our playbook pretty well by this time. But then you talk about power play and, you know, other small details that you get some new ideas. And also, of course, depending on what kind of players will attend to different camps or the worlds, for example. So there you try to find some structure that works with the players you have, and especially also with the teams you're going to play against, that you try to be effective. And I said it's not very much time, so you need to be having a pretty set plan. You need to have some video, you need to talk to the players, get them on board, and also of course listen to them. I think that's also one big thing and a key point, that, you know, let the players also speak. You know, they have a lot of good ideas. They know a lot of hockey, and they are actually the one who's going to execute the things on the ice. So I think it's important to listen to what they have to say also. And if they have some good ideas and they can have some good argument why we should do that, then why not?
Just to give listeners an idea of said approach, what was the best idea by a player, or the best input by a player that you were approached with and that you tried to implement? Just again, to give listeners an idea.
Yeah, I can go back a couple of years, you know, when I coached hockey in Leksand, my true first year as coaching at the SHL level. And I remember that I told our team then that we're going to forecheck hard every time. And then I had a player who said, like, but Alex, do we really need to have forecheck if the other team have full possession of the puck? Should we forecheck then also behind the net? And I'm thinking, no, actually, she's right. If we do that, then we will, like, you know, we will lose player every time we do that. So, but by then, I was, you know, in my head was everyone should do that every time. Every time we should do this way. So it was clear to everyone. But that's what I mean with, like, having a multi-dimensional tactic or playbook that, you know, depending on what the opponents are doing in certain time or in certain situations, you need to have maybe more than one way of playing those situations. And it will be up to the players to take those decisions on ice, if it's the time to go hard forecheck, or maybe we should do some other tactic here and wait a little bit for that forecheck. So I think we also try to implement a lot of drills at practice for the players, so they get the chance to really practice to have more than one way of doing certain things. So that's will probably be the most clear example I have for the moment. It has probably happened last couple of years also, but that was for me, you know, young. New as a coach, and just having my idea, my way of thinking, and players coming in and having a good argument. And for me, it was like, why should I decide that? Why should I force them to do that when they have good arguments of why we not should do it?
And that sure sounds promising for players if things maybe don't go the way you want them during the tournament, that they're able to approach you and bring some new ideas to the table. But as we're getting closer to the Women's World Championships, and they're, of course, starting on Sunday, April 21st, this upcoming Sunday, how does the timeline look up until the tournament for Team Austria? You just got off the plane. You're spending a couple of days back home in Sweden. We talked about the exhibition games against Hungary. But what does the rest of this week up until the tournament look like for you and the team?
We get together Wednesday. We're going to have a practice, opening meeting, some talks. Thursday, we're going to have an exhibition games against France. But before that, also a pregame skate. So it's our last exhibition game before we're going to enter the tournament later this week. So, of course, an important game for us. And we'll try to set the details, execute all the details in a really good way to get a good feeling going. Friday, we will practice also. Same thing Saturday. And then Sunday, we will enter the tournament. So I think most of all, it will be about practicing, having meetings, making sure that we bring everything to the table that we need to talk about before we, on Sunday, play Norway, the first opening game for us. So a good week. It's not too much on the schedule. I think it's more, you know, meetings and practice. And also we'll give some time to our mental coach to work with the players. That's also like a new thing for this season, to bring in a mental coach. And it's not only for the Worlds. We had her earlier for a couple of camps. She's been working with our team, both in a way where we have the team sessions, but also individual sessions for players who wants to talk to her individually. So I think that's something that really helps out, and it should be something that all athletes, especially elite athletes, have as a resource to be able to talk to someone who knows how the brain is working and more about, you know, performance as an athlete.
You played Hungary. You're gonna go and play France. Both of those nations, both of those teams, will be opponents for Team Austria. How much of a cat and mouse game is it against those teams? Not showing them everything, trying to hold back maybe a couple of things, having some aces still up your sleeve. How does that work?
Oh, well, I think you have a good point there. I think it's you want to try different things in game situations, but still you don't want to give too much to the opponents. Of course, you want to keep things secret until you get into the real tournament. But it's pretty hard these days. You know, people, they have scouts or someone who's go out and look at the practices. They have also staff that they look at video from our games earlier this season. They look at our, you know, players, and they see which player play each position. So, I mean, all the teams know each other pretty well. And I think most of the team in this group, maybe not South Korea, but most of the other teams, they played each other pretty many times. So they have an idea of how the other team will play. But of course, we try to change some things hopefully we can surprise some of the other teams when we enter the tournament. So I think we have a plan for how and when we should practice some of the things and how we should hold things as secret as long as possible.
Tournament for Team Austria starts on Sunday against Norway. Short turnaround. Monday, South Korea. Wednesday, France. Friday, Hungary. And then Saturday to finish things off, the Netherlands. So we're talking about 6 days and five games. It's incredibly demanding for the players, obviously. But as regards the opponents, how good of a feel have you already got for the teams that I already mentioned? Or is it just the focus on Team Norway now and the rest will take care of itself because then you start getting game footage from the World Championships?
I think you always prepare a little bit, like the basics from the other teams. But still, you have a good point there also that you want to wait and have as fresh material as possible. So, you know, we would probably, you know, in our scouting, we'll probably take some videos from the first couple of games in the Worlds against those teams that we don't play the first game, just to have as fresh material as possible. Most of the teams, I think they have a kind of a structure, and then you try to, you know, sometimes you show our players that structure if it's really, really important. Otherwise, you know, I think the players by this time, they trust us. So if we say that we need to maybe focus a little bit extra at something in our playbook, then the player know, okay, this is because we play this team. So then we don't need to talk too much about, okay, now we play that team, so they do this and that. So it's more about, okay, this game, we focus some extra at this those situations, and this is the way we should play and handle it. So I think we try to prepare, but also trying to believe in ourselves in that way that we can definitely beat all other teams in this tournament. But at the same time, you know, we can also lose against all the teams. So it's a fine line, and it comes to being good every day.
From the outside looking in, and you can confirm this or deny it, it seems like it's a really competitive group this time around. And with all those games in short succession, is there one game that you'd label as the key or starting point for a successful tournament? Is it that first game to have that good start that everybody is looking for? Or is it maybe the last game with the Netherlands, because the IIHF usually likes to schedule more decisive games and more important games at the back end of the tournament? How are you looking at the schedule?
I think we don't look too much at the schedule, but everyone do anyway. So it's as you said, I think the first game is always the key game, because you shouldn't think any longer than the first game. You should only be here and now, and that's we try to remind the players also when we're getting into camp, that we don't be thinking too much about yesterday, we don't think too much about tomorrow, we're here and now. So I think the first game is of course super important. We see in teams, you know, losing the first game but still taking the step up to the A group. We also see teams losing the first game but they still, you know, won the championship. So we're trying to have a pretty relaxed attitude to the schedule and don't think too much, okay, we played that team first or last, but we know that we need to have a good day every game day. And those days when we have games, then it's only that day that matters. Nothing from yesterday or tomorrow. It's 100% focus at that day. And just the focus is something that I think we are really good at this point now, with having a mental coach working with that part almost all season. So I'm confident in our team, but at the same time, some things you can't control the other teams. You know, if some other team have a extraordinary good day and we have a pretty good day, you know, then we can lose no matter what who we play. So it's also about timing, I would say.
It's the beauty and the brutality of the game of hockey all in one. But I was talking about aces up your sleeve, and a couple of weeks ago, the news hit that Theresa Schaffzahl, Austria's only player right now in the PWHL, will be joining the national team for the World Championship. She'll join, I think, on the eve of the tournament, so not a lot of time to see her practice and get a feel for which line she would mix and mesh best with. First of all, how big of an addition is Theresa Schaffzahl, and how are you trying to make best use of her?
No, of course, a big addition to the team. I think, you know, it says something when you're the only Austrian player playing in PWHL. So Theresa is skilled. She's done a couple of really good years at college at Vermont. So, I mean, she's a world-class player. But at the same time, as you said, she's coming in late. She hasn't been with the team for the whole year here, Team Austria. So I think we need to have the right type of expectations when she's coming in that late, and trying to help her in the best possible ways and find like a good role for her so she can help the team what she's good at. But I definitely see her as an offensive player who can help, you know, this team score goals, making plays offensively. Now it's, you know, the coaching staff, it's our job to make sure we find a good role for her and make her happy so she can perform as exactly the same as the rest of the players.
I only got two more questions left for you. Don't want the toddler to wake up and you still been on this call, obviously, and also I've already robbed you of way too much time anyways. But a lot of Austrian fans are, of course, curious about the injury status of Anna Meixner. She's been working on it for quite some time now. Will she be ready to go for the tournament?
I think maybe it's a little bit early to say. Anna's done great job now for a couple of weeks, you know, getting back after her her injury in Salamse. So I think she's on a good way. So we keep doors open for her, and we're not counting her in, but we're not counting her out either. We need to keep that open as long as possible. But what I can say is, you know, Anna is one of the most professional athletes I ever met. So I think, you know, the odds is pretty good that we will see her in the Worlds. And I think, you know, for her, it means a lot to play at home from, you know, friends, family and everything. So so we will do whatever we can to support Anna. And also she's really important for the team as our captain. So we hope to see her in Klagenfurt, but we don't count her in yet until we know for sure.
Austria's been oh so close a couple of times to advance to the A pool. And of course, it brings back memories to the 2017 tournament, also on home soil, where just one loss to Japan made all the difference. And there are a lot of veterans on your team who been there, done that, who came so close. How big, as far as you can judge it or sense it, is that hunger to finally get over the hump and finally get to the A pool?
I mean, it's just look at it. They've been close so many times and they're still going at it. They're just, you know, for me, especially the older ones, but also the younger ones, you can say the whole team. It's a team that never quits. You know, they're just going after it again. You know, last year in China, it was that was also really, really close. It was like a point we're missing or something. It's impressive, you know, for especially the older ones who's been there many times and being disappointed after every time they missed with a point or with a goal or something else. So I think it's impressive. And I know the hunger is really, really big. And I know they believe both in themselves, in the team. They believe in the coaching staff also and in Team Austria. So I really, really hope that, you know, they will have a good tournament now and get the chance to enjoy something special in the end. But we try to keep them, you know, not thinking too much, just being in the day, making sure they have the right resources to perform. And also knowing that, okay, what will help is that we can focus on what we control every day and do the best of it. But it's for sure impressive to see, especially the older ones going at it all the time, every season. So, and they're a huge part of Team Austria. So it's kind of a luxury to have those kind of players who bring so much.
I've enjoyed my fair share of women's hockey games, and I'm very much looking forward to attending the last game against the Netherlands, hopefully with promotion to the A pool on the line, maybe even for both teams. But granted that there are a lot of listeners of this program who have never been to a women's hockey game, what would your sales pitch be to lure them into the arena to one of the games in Klagenfurt this upcoming week?
No, I would say that you see a fast, smart and aggressive hockey who's really competitive. I would say that. And I mean, also the skill set that the team has, and also, you know, the... hopefully, you know, the games and the quality of the game. You know, if you've seen a women's hockey for, like, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years ago, and you see it today, you think it's another type of sport. It's happened so much the last couple of years. So I think it's definitely a super good opportunity to come to Klagenfurt and watch the game. And I think we would also appreciate it so much to have, you know, fans, an audience who help us to reach our goals. So. It will mean the world to the girls also on the team and to some of the other staff members that are from Austria who's been fighting for this team for many years. So so I think you have a good point there to, you know, buy a ticket, come to Klagenfurt, watch us play, and hopefully, you know, we pay you back by moving up in the end.
And we hope that a lot of people use those great deals. Again, 20 euros for the entire tournament. That's basically stealing from somebody. And we want to make things even better for a couple of listeners out there. The first 10 listeners who replied to me quoting this program, either on Twitter at Martin Pfanner or on Instagram at Martin Pfanner, they'll get a free t-shirt. It's an Equal Play Day t-shirt from Win Today. I think it's got either Matzka or Wittig and their numbers on the back. So it's also hockey related. Go get those limited t-shirts. You can win 10 here. And coach, thanking you so much for taking the time, wishing you and the team a successful tournament, and very much looking forward to seeing you right around the game against the Netherlands. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you very much.
Win Today Hockey. O'Clock.
Kurz durchatmen bei diesem Wahnsinn. Und das ging rasend schnell. Der Traum vom Finale ist erfüllt.
Mittendrin statt nur dabei.
Fans, stimmungsvoll und hoffnungsfroh. Nice move.